Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study in the book of Revelation. We've been studying chapter 13, and today we will cover verse 14 of that chapter. The study is entitled, "The Beast Deceives the Churches Through Miracles to Cause Them to Make an Image to Worship It." I'll read that verse first of all, and then we'll go into an introduction, and then the main body of the study, and a conclusion. Revelation 13:14, it reads, "And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." Last time, we looked at the whole notion of falling backward in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 through 13, which speaks about how God sent a pagan nation who were called a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue to destroy his very own people due to their hardened rebellion against his law. And this judgment of God against his very own people by a foreign nation was said to result in his people to fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Remember, we read in Isaiah 28, verses 11 through 13, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.' But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Well, before getting into today's study of Revelation chapter 13, 14, where the beast is said to deceive them that dwell on the earth through the miracles it was given to do, saying to those that dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, there is something else that must be mentioned about Isaiah 28 that was not mentioned in our last study, but should have. Namely, that it all ties into the New Testament church. That is, in 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 28 about the people with stammering lips and a foreign tongue, and he applies it to the speaking in tongues that was taking place in the Corinthian church. Why did he do that? We read in 1 Corinthians 14 where he quotes from that verse, "In the law it is written," that is Isaiah 28:11, "with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." In short, what God through Paul is saying is that just as in Isaiah 28, verses 11 through 13, where God brought judgment against his own people by a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue to destroy them, so also in the church of the Corinthians, which had many problems worthy of judgment, God was beginning to bring his judgment against them through those who were speaking in tongues. That is, through a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue. This is not to say that there was not a legitimate gift of speaking in tongues at that time before God's word was completed with the book of Revelation in about 95 AD, for the apostle said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. 1 Corinthians 14:18. But what it does mean is that the speaking with tongues was used as a sign in the Corinthian church of God's judgment coming upon them due to all their sin problems. For God said, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves for them that believe not." Not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. That is, the tongues that was taking place in an unorderly fashion without any proper interpretation in the Corinthian church was a sign to them that believe not, in that it was a sign revealing that counterfeit Christians, that is, a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue who really didn't believe in the true Christ, had infiltrated or were beginning to infiltrate the Corinthian church to begin to bring judgment against it, just as a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue, first the Assyrians in 709 BC, and then about 100 years later the Babylonians, had been sent against the Old Testament people of God or church due to their hardened disobedience to God's law, as we saw in Isaiah chapter 28 in our previous study that you can click on to be reminded of. Of course, today, we know that the speaking in tongues, which was once an errorless word from God that when interpreted in an orderly fashion edified the church, ended upon the completion of the book of Revelation in about 95 AD. For we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18 at its end, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Therefore, those who speak in tongues in our day are in violation of God's holy word, because they are adding to the word of God. When one received a message in tongues before about 95 AD, as I said, it was God speaking through that person. So it was the very word of God. If that is still happening today, it is therefore adding to the word of God and is revealing a false gospel or Christ. As I have always taught, you can immediately always tell if a church, faith, or religion is a false gospel or Christ by if they believe that God has been still giving them errorless direct messages after the first century AD in any way, such as in, but not limited to, dreams, visions, voices, tongues, extra-biblical writings other than those found already in the Protestant Bible, prophesyings, words of knowledge, or in any other form of direct message from God. What we have learned then is that God has, in the past, used those who speak in tongues in the church, a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue, to bring judgment against his church. So, is there any wonder why he is using the whole charismatic tongues movement in our day to bring his judgment against his own church? A people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue? Yes, normally it has been the charismatic movement that has been doing the signs or miracles or wonders in the churches, in which we have seen fire, that is symbolic of judgment, coming down from heaven into the churches by causing people to fall backward. Thus, this tongues movement of speaking in tongues and apparently doing wonders or miracles is clearly of the church beast that we have been studying in Revelation chapter 13. This speaking in tongues movement has infiltrated many Christian churches before and ever since God's judgment first came upon them, beginning on May 21, 1988, to reveal God's judgment upon His entire corporate church. That is all the Christian churches. Now, with that said, knowing that there's much more that could be said about that, I just wanted to bring that up because I think it was something important that was missed when we looked into Isaiah chapter 28 in our last study. Well, let's move on to our next verse of study in Revelation chapter 13, namely verse 14. It reads once again, "And it," that is the beast, "deceives them," and we're talking about this is happening during the tribulation period from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. "And it," that is the beast, "deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." And that's the reading from the King James Version, 1769. To begin, let's look more closely at this verse directly from the Greek text. It first reads, "And it deceives them that dwell on the earth." But we must first ask, who deceives them that dwell on the earth? Well, in the context of the previous verse 13, where it is the beast that does great wonders during the great tribulation, so that it may be making fire descend out of heaven into the earth in the sight of human beings, we know that when our verse 14 of this study says, "And it deceives them that dwell on the earth," it is still speaking about the same beast of verse 13. Therefore, we can translate our verse, "And it," that is the beast, "deceives them that dwell on the earth." But now, who are them that dwell on the earth that this beast deceives? Literally, you would think that them that dwell on the earth would be everyone who lives on the planet Earth, right? But we're looking for the spiritual or symbolic meaning because, as we have already seen, that is the kind of meaning we have found throughout the book of Revelation, including Revelation chapter 13, that we have been studying. Some parts of the book of Revelation have given us a literal, historical look into things in the first century A.D., such as the seven literal churches of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 that you can click on to study. But even those historical seven churches have a deeper spiritual or symbolic meaning and application as well. For not only were those seven churches literal churches in the first century A.D. that God addressed back then, but God used those same seven churches back then to symbolize the totality of all the churches, which is the meaning of the number seven. Hence, seven churches symbolize the totality of all the Christian churches that would come into being during the church age from Pentecost on May 21, 33 A.D. to the spiritual end of the church age on May 21, 1988. Therefore, there was a literal application to the seven churches and another symbolic application to the seven churches. Similarly, the literal things of the Old Covenant, such as, for example, the old physical temple, the old priesthood, the old Sabbath day, the old literal historical accounts of the nation of Israel, and even the whole old nation of Israel itself were all foreshadows of things to come. Thus, for instance, the old physical temple foreshadowed or typified the New Testament church. And when the Romans destroyed the old temple in 70 AD, it was a foreshadow or type of the spiritual and final physical destruction of the corporate Christian temple or church in our day that began on May 21, 1988, when the Holy Spirit removed himself from the Christian temple or church to begin God's judgment at that very house or temple of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Just as the Holy Spirit left the old temple at the cross when the veil of that temple was rent in two, which then opened the door for the old temple's destruction by the Romans in 70 AD. The old high priest, of course, foreshadowed or typified the then future ministry of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who offered up himself as the sacrifice to which every old sacrifice foreshadowed or typified. Also, the old Sabbath day foreshadowed or typified our rest in Jesus Christ from trying to save ourselves by our own works. Instead, we rest in his works alone for salvation. All the old historical accounts of things, such as, for instance, Abraham sacrificing his son, which foreshadowed or typified God who sacrificed his son, and even the whole nation of Israel, which was the old church of God, foreshadowed or typified the New Testament church. So, when those who teach that almost all of the book of Revelation was fulfilled in the first century AD, that is the preterists, they're missing the boat. All the things that were a part of the old covenant and dispensation in some way were a shadow of things to come. And these are some of the very things that the preterists say were already completed in the first century, because they fail to see that those very things were but a shadow of things yet to come. Even as the destruction of the old temple by the Romans in 70 AD foreshadowed the destruction of the corporate Christian church or temple that began to take place beginning on May 21, 1988, when God's judgment came upon it. But getting back to our question, who are them that dwell on the earth that this beast deceives? Remember, we already found in Revelation 13:8 that you can click on to be reminded that the term the earth spiritually symbolizes the corporate Christian church, which, by the way, includes all Christian churches. Therefore, when our verse says, and it, the beast, deceives them that dwell on the earth, it spiritually means that the beast deceives them that dwell in the Christian churches. And because our verse is in Revelation chapter 13, which context we already found has everything to do with the Great Tribulation period, and we saw how those in the Christian churches during the tribulation period were deceived already in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 13, that you can click on to be reminded, where we read that all the earth, that is the whole Christian church, wandered after the beast. The King James says all the world wandered after the beast, but the Greek word there translated as world is the same word normally translated as earth. And in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 13, that you can click on to be reminded of, we read, and they, referring to the whole Christian church, worshipped the dragon, Satan. Then again, in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 13, that you can click on to be reminded, we read that all that dwell upon the earth, spiritually it reads all that dwell in the Christian churches, shall worship it. That is, they shall worship the first of the two beasts, which two beasts we found are really one and the same beast, just described as two, to symbolize that the one beast being represented by the two beasts is a church beast. And again, we read in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 13 that you can click on to be reminded of, that the second beast causes the earth, that is the Christian church, and then that dwell therein to worship the first beast. And now in verse 14 of today's study, where we read, and it, that is the beast, deceives them that dwell on the earth, we get a clear idea just how deceived the Christian churches have been ever since the beginning of the Great Tribulation on May 21, 1988. They have been so deceived that they are worshiping the dragon, Satan, who is the counterfeit Christ and Antichrist, given to them by God to spiritually destroy them, as Satan has done to this very day without them even knowing it, as God's final judgment against them. It is Satan's greatest deception since he deceived Eve in the garden. Fortunately, God has exhorted his true people to depart out from the Christian churches to escape his final judgment on the corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches. They who have already or are coming out from the Christian churches in obedience to Christ are the only true eternal church. Everyone else who remains in the Christian churches have already been spiritually destroyed, and they will be physically destroyed as well on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day and this world. Now, how did this beast, and the beast includes Satan, his demons, his counterfeit Christians, and his other unsaved people, deceive them who are in the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation and even to this very day? Our verse tells us how. It says, by the means of those miracles which he, actually it's better translated, it, the second beast, by means of those miracles which it, the second beast, had power to do in the sight of the first beast. More literally, the verse reads that the second beast deceived them in the Christian churches through those miracles, signs, or wonders, which were given to it to do in the sight of the first beast, not which it had power to do in the sight of the first beast, as the King James translates it. No, rather, the second beast deceived those in the Christian churches through those miracles, and miracles could be translated as signs or wonders, which were given to it to do in the sight of the first beast. And as we had learned in a previous study, the first and second beasts are really the one and the same church beast described as two beasts, to teach us that the one church beast, which the two beasts represent, has everything to do with the Christian church. For the number two symbolizes the church. And you can click on the number two to see that. But now, what were the miracles, signs, or wonders that this one church beast was given to do during the Great Tribulation to deceive those in the Christian churches, and still even till today? Why, to best deceive the churches into worshiping the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, who started his rule over them on May 21, 1988, they had to be similar to the miracles that Christ, his apostles, and his prophets were involved in doing during the first century AD, such as miraculous healings and salvations, apparently getting direct messages from God in dreams, visions, voices, tongues, words of knowledge, prophesying, and the like. And As we learned in the previous verse that you can click on to be reminded of, the making of fire, which fire is symbolic of judgment, come down out of heaven on the earth in the sight of human beings, which was fulfilled in the phenomenon of making people fall backward in the church to show that they and the corporate Christian church are under the wrath of God. Now, by doing these great wonders, or signs, or miracles, the beast that consists of Satan as its head or ruler, his demons that he uses, his counterfeit Christians that he works through as his body to do his miracles, and any other unsaved people that he uses, we are next told in our verse, is saying to them that dwell on the earth, that is those who still attend a Christian church, that they should make an image to the beast. More literally, the beast is saying to those who are still attending a Christian church to make an image to the beast. So, by this church beast having been doing these great wonders, signs or miracles, in the Christian church during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, when the many days of Judgment Day first began, and even still to this very day, this church beast has been saying to all those in the Christian churches to make an image to the beast. But now, what does it mean to make an image to the beast? Anyone who regularly reads the Bible, as we all should know that to make an image is to make an idol of worship to a false god. For instance, we read in Exodus 21 about making an image. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 6. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Again we read in Leviticus 26:1, ye shall make no idols, nor graven image. Neither rear ye up a standing image. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. And once again, Deuteronomy 4:15 through 19. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Obviously, in the light of these verses and many other verses in Holy Scripture, to make unto thee an image of anything created, to worship or to help or aid in the worship of God, is to make unto oneself an idol or false god to worship. This means, for instance, that many Catholics and even some Protestants who have made various graven images of things created for aids in the worship of God, such as statues and pictures of Mother Mary, Christ, St. Christopher, St. Peter or Paul, and so on, from which the sales of have greatly benefited the Catholic Church and others, have really created for themselves idols to worship a false or counterfeit Christ, Satan himself. We must recognize such beliefs or faith to be cults. You can click on the link Catholicism for more information on that religion. Because Catholicism is so entrenched in the making of and veneration of images in the form of statues, pictures, St. Christopher's, and the like, they have had to delete or change the second commandment of God's word, because this command specifically commands them not to make or bow down to such images. The changing of these commands has been just arrogant, satanic manipulation of God's word. Once again, here is what the second commandment says in the King James Version, Exodus 24 through 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. How clear can it be? God most certainly commands not to make images in any way for the aiding or help of religious worship, and not only that, but not to bow down to them. So one is not to make them, nor is one to bow down to them. Either one, they're not to do. But these verses have been deleted from the Catholic teachings of their leaders and teachers while Catholics continue to bow before images. You can click on the link Pope Worships Mary. You can click on the link Hail Mary, Hail Satan, and the link Bowing to see some of this. For more information on Catholicism removing the Second Commandment, you can click on this link. Catholic religion purposely takes out one of God's Ten Commandments. Anyway, the main point is this. To make an image to oneself is to make an idol by which to worship oneself. Therefore, to make an image to the beast must mean to make an idol whereby to worship the beast. An idol, or we could call it an image, whereby to worship the beast. Now remember, the beast is the kingdom of Satan, which consists of Satan as its head or ruler, his demons, his counterfeit Christians, and all other unsaved people. So, when our verse tells us that the beast deceived those still attending the Christian churches through its miracles, signs or wonders, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that is those still attending the Christian churches, when they should not be, for Christ has told them to come out. So the beast is saying to them that dwell on the earth, that is in the Christian churches to make an image to the beast. It means for them to make an idol whereby to worship the beast, or an image whereby to worship the beast. Yet, because this is all spiritual or symbolic language, as we have seen in our studies throughout the book of Revelation, including Revelation chapter 13, this image or idol is not to be thought of as a physical image or idol of some kind, such as a graven, molten, carved, or gold image, but it is to be thought of as a spiritual or symbolic image or idol. So, what is this spiritual image or idol that those still in the Christian churches ended up making to the beast in response to the beast's deception through its supposed miracles of healings, eternal salvations, direct messages from God and dreams, visions, voices, tongues, words of knowledge, prophesyings, and of course, the making of people to fall backward by calling down fire, which symbolizes judgment, from heaven into the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Why, this spiritual or symbolic image or idol that those still in the Christian churches made to the beast could be none other than their false notion, belief, or simply the idea in their minds, souls, or hearts that the God doing all those miracles, signs, or wonders, and ruling in all the Christian churches, even to this very day, is the true God, when instead it is the head or ruler of the beast itself, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, who is doing these miracles, wonders, or signs, and ruling in the church through the help from his demons, counterfeit Christians, and other unsaved people, all of whom are a part of the beast, to deceive those still in the churches as God's judgment against them for their hardened rebellion against his word. For they have become hardened in their rebellion against God and his word, and they have not obeyed Christ to depart out from all the Christian churches into Babylon, that is this world, which is the kingdom of Satan, to escape his wrath until his wrath is completed against the whole corporate Christian church, that is all Christian churches, on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Then, on that last day, all we who have obeyed God to have departed out from all the churches will return together to the heavenly Jerusalem as we are raptured one by one and then come back down to shine as the new Jerusalem to dwell forever in the new heaven and earth, which is to be created after this, the destruction of this present heaven and earth by fire on the ever so close last day of this world as we know it. Now finally, our verse in study says this church beast had the wound by a sword and did live. In the Greek, the word had in this sentence is better translated as is having, since the Greek word translated as had in the King James is in the present tense of the indicative mood of the Greek. And you can click on the link present tense and scroll down to present tense to see that. Thus, our verse now says that this church beast is having the wound by a sword, which emphasizes that although this one church beast, remember, both the beasts in Revelation 13 represent the same one church beast, had one of its heads as if it were slain to death, and as if its death blow was cured, Revelation 13, verse 3. It really was not slain to death or completely cured, which is why we are now told it is still ongoingly having the wound, that is the death blow mentioned back in verse 3, that we had learned it received at the cross to guarantee its eventual death on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. When Christ had loosed the beast from the pit on May 21, 1988, to begin the final or great tribulation and judgment against the house of God, the beast was given so much power and strength by God, not power and strength from itself, that it just appeared as though its deadly wound that it had received at the cross was healed. But as we now more clearly discover, it really was not totally healed, but only as if it were healed. Also, the phrase, by a sword, in the sentence which states that this church beast is having the wound by a sword and did live, is more literally translated, is having the wound of the sword and did live. So, this church beast is not ongoingly having the wound by just any old sword, but of the sword and did live, making it clear that the sword, which the church beast was originally wounded by at the cross, was the very sword of God himself, not just any old sword. And what is the very sword of God? It is the same as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6, verse 17. This is the same powerful Word of God that when He spoke, let there be light, there was light, Genesis 1, verse 3. Yes, God just had to speak His Word, and the entire creation came into being, Genesis chapter 1. This is also the sword by which God had wounded the beast, that is the whole kingdom of Satan, through his death and resurrection, which ensures the final destruction of the beast. Satan, as its head or ruler, his demons, all the counterfeit Christians, and all other unsaved people, after the beast has been fully used by God to destroy all Christian churches as his final judgment against them. For if any have especially been accountable to his word, they are all those in the Christian churches, first and foremost. For it is they who had been entrusted with the very words of God. But nevertheless, they have all rebelled against his word in so many ways. Even God's true elect people, his saints, had once fornicated with the great harlot, the corporate Christian church, that is, until they finally obeyed Christ to come out from her. Only those ones who have been being purified and prepared outside of any church for their new lives in the new incorruptible heaven and earth to be created after this old heaven and earth are destroyed in fire on the last day of the many days of judgment day that we are now in ever since May 21, 2011. Well, let's conclude and summarize this message. In this study, we carried on further from our last study of Revelation 13:13, Part 3, to show how God carried the whole notion of His bringing judgment against His own people by sending against them a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue to make them fall backward into the New Testament phenomena of speaking in tongues. For the Apostle Paul used Isaiah 28:11, which speaks of a people with stammering lips and a foreign tongue that God used to destroy his ancient people, Israel, and he ties this into being those also in the Christian church who were speaking in tongues in a disorderly and unwise fashion. That is, we saw how God used the stammering lips and foreign tongues of those who spoke in tongues in the church of Corinth during the first century A.D. as a sign and instrument of his judgment coming upon them, which was a precursor to what has happened in our day. even though the once true speaking in tongues ceased in about 95 AD at the completion of the book of Revelation, as we saw in Revelation 22, verse 18, the counterfeit Christian and so-called charismatic speaking in tongues movement of the latter days, a people of stammering lips and foreign tongue, has been being used by God to bring his judgment against his very own church, just as he used the Assyrians and then the Babylonians, both a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue, to bring judgment against his rebellious Old Testament church, as we saw in Isaiah 28, verses 11 through 13. Yes, the whole satanic, charismatic movement of the beast is where these apparently great wonders or miracles of Satan and the beast that we have been learning about in Revelation 13, 13 through 14, including the making of people to fall backward or calling down fire from heaven, all came from to be a sign and instrument of God's wrath against his New Testament church. So God used a people of stammering lips and a foreign tongue to not only destroy his Old Testament church, but now he has done it again, but this time completely and finally to aid in the destruction of his New Testament church. History has repeated itself in a sense because the literal historical accounts of the nation of Israel were a foreshadow of things to come. Then after this, we saw how the church beast deceived them that dwell on the earth, that is, those who still attend a church during the Great Tribulation. It deceived them through the miracles, signs, or wonders that it was given by God to do, not that it had the power to do, as the King James puts it, although that is a true statement, such as apparently getting direct messages from God in dreams, visions, voices, tongues, prophesying, so-called words of knowledge, extra-biblical writings, or the like, or apparently performing miracles of healings or salvations, and even making fire out of heaven come down on the earth that is in the churches, which spiritually is the making of people to fall backward in the churches, as we especially saw them do during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, but also even to this day. By doing such miracles in the sight of those in the churches, the beast deceived many to make an image to it, which is the spiritual idol of the notion, idea, or belief that these miracles or signs were being done by the true God, when instead they have been being done by the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who already came on May 21, 1988 to be seated as the ruler in the Christian temple, that is the whole corporate church, Satan himself, as God's judgment against them. Finally, we learned that although this church beast had been given a death blow or wound of the sword, which is the very word of God in Jesus Christ, at the cross to ensure its complete destruction on the last day of judgment day that we are now in, this beast continued to live during the Great Tribulation. And we learned in Revelation 13:3 why that was. It was because as if God healed its wound at the beginning of the Great Tribulation to bring his judgment against his church by the beast. Nevertheless, Revelation 13:14 now further makes it clear that this beast was still ongoingly having its wound during the Great Tribulation, meaning it is still guaranteed finally to be destroyed on the last day of this world because of Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. Now, before closing, let's read through our verse 14 of Revelation chapter 13 one last time to help give us clarity. It reads, "And it," and the "it," of course, is the beast, deceives them that dwell on the earth, that is, in the Christian churches, by the means of, literally, it doesn't say by the means of, it says through or because those miracles, signs or wonders, which it had power to do, literally, does not say as it had power to do, but it says which it was given to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should, literally, simply, to make an image to the beast, which had, and the word had is better translated as is having, the wound by a sword, literally of the sword, and did live. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be most gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee great peace.